there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line on a Tuesday. Stormy Bonatoni alongside former NFL wide receiver Mike Pritchard, who is in for Michael Lombardi getting some well-deserved vacation time, which surprised me he took it off during combine time because I thought that this would be like former NFL GM. This is the stuff you want to talk about.
Right,
but I also
right.
don't blame him for taking time off. It was a long season.
Absolutely. Super Bowl II. Yeah, you would think. Maybe he's at the combine. Maybe that's his vacation.
He's just sneaking out there. That's the truth. But like you said, the combine rolls on. The NFL calendar rolls on. And the Indianapolis Colts are a team. It's a really interesting position. Shane Steichen in is the new head coach for Frank Reich. They have the number four, draft position with all of the rumors swirling that maybe they're going to trade up. Maybe they won't. Let's talk it all over as we welcome in George Bremer, Colts beat reporter and sports editor of the Herald Bulletin, co-host of the Blue Horseshoe podcast at GM Bremer on Twitter, and he's on site in Indy because no travel necessary for you. Nice to have a home event, no?
No, it's nice. You know, one of the few times that you don't have to get on an airplane, and not bad at all.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you making some time, especially with how hectic I imagine it must be down there. What's the latest that you're hearing about what the Colts are going to try and do with this number four selection?
Yeah, you know, I think it's very intriguing, as you mentioned. I think there's a lot of options that they can go with, but I think the owner has made it a little bit clear here that he wants to get a rookie quarterback in, and I think he would be the driving force. If there's a trade-up, I think it will be coming from Jim Irsay's, you know, corner. We know Chris Ballard generally likes to protect those draft picks, get as many as he can, but I think they're in a little bit different position this year than they have been in years past. They've gone that veteran route. It hasn't worked. I think it's time to kind of go all in, make that big splash, and get your guy who you can build around for the future.
You know, George, there's several teams that become the key to the draft. I think the Colts are the key to the draft in the first round. When you think about teams are rumored to try to get up to number one, I don't know if the Colts are included in that or not. But from your estimation, you know, Irsay was lukewarm, I believe, on Shane Steichen. They hired him anyway, right? So what quarterback fits the bill for what the Colts might be looking for?
Hey, you know, it's interesting. There was a former Eagles scout out there in December who was saying, you know, whoever has the number one overall pick should hire Shane Steichen and draft Bryce Young. And I thought that was really interesting. He just felt like that was a perfect scheme marriage. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's so many questions, obviously, with Bryce's size. You know, can he stand up to a weekly pounding that he's going to get in the NFL? But I don't think anybody questions his game. You know, what he did on the field is unimpeachable. You know, and I think it'll be interesting to see where the Colts fall on that side of that equation. But if Shane Steichen shares that idea that this is a perfect fit for their scheme, they probably will have to go up if that's the target that they're looking at.
And in a year where Alabama felt like they were a little off, imagine what that season could have been had they not had Bryce Young under center throughout the course of the season. He was fantastic this year. And Jim Irsay did say that Alabama quarterback looks pretty good. So maybe a little bit of a like there from the ownership. If you had to pick, though, if there was a quarterback that you were most intrigued by in this class, would it be Bryce Young or who would it be?
I think, you know, again, I think for the on-the-field side of things, I felt like Bryce Young, he to me is the most talented quarterback in this draft. Like everybody else, I'm interested to see, you know, how that works. He's such an outlier from a size standpoint. But I think maybe the safe pick is, might be C.J. Stroud, just in terms of he's got the prototypical size. He put up big numbers at Ohio State. From everything you hear, talking to people who covered him there, people around that program, he's a quick processor. He reads defenses quickly. You know, I think there's, to me, he's kind of that guy that you can bring him in and there's less questions about him. I think the big one with him is, you know, never beat Michigan. Can he rise to the biggest moments? But I think that might be, there might be some teams more comfortable with that than they are with, you know, an outlier to the extent that Bryce Young is from a size standpoint. Those two to me stand out apart. I know there's a lot of talk about Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. They have a bunch of physical skill and all the right traits as well. But with those two, I'm a little bit worried with Richardson with his completion percentage and with Levis on turnovers. I think the Colts in particular, turnovers last year killed them. I think that's something that they're going to have to really try to lean away from when they're looking at these young quarterbacks.
You know, George, last season, from a betting perspective, the Colts were very disappointing. Very disappointing, in fact, for their fans as well. I mean, obviously, right? But I'm curious because if all signs are pointing to the Colts selecting a young quarterback and with this veteran roster, I mean, where are the expectations going to go now? Because there were some people that had expectations that the Colts could, in fact, make a run to the Super Bowl this past season. So moving forward, though, with a young rookie quarterback, I mean, is that in the cards? Is that what Irsay is still expecting out there in Indy?
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting thing to see. It's always what he's expecting. So I know for sure, you know, as far as he's concerned, you know, the ultimate goal is always there. But there was kind of a seismic shift, you know, during this season. When they fired Frank Reich and they brought in Jeff Saturday, everything changed. And I think they had been sort of in that plug-and-play mentality, bring in that veteran quarterback and try to, you know, get enough around him to make a deep run. They felt like they had a lot of the other pieces in place. And I think just because the wheels fell off so totally this year and you end up 4-12-1 and you're picking fourth overall, I think it just changed the mentality of everybody in the organization. I think the idea now is maybe not a total rebuild, but kind of a soft reboot here. You know, get that young quarterback in, maybe get rid of some of the more veteran guys. We'll see how that plays out as well. But I think they're going to want to win again quickly. But I think they understand it's time to get, you know, that franchise quarterback and start building around him.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. It's like Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. They've had 7 different starting quarterbacks in 4 seasons. That's not what you're looking for in the post-Andrew Luck era. So hopefully they do find their guy. Aside from the quarterback position, I know there's still a lot of time now with the combine just starting before the draft actually happens and free agency and all the things. But what are some areas of need that the Colts really are going to have to address here over the next couple months?
I think most of them are on the offense. I mean, if you look at defense, kind of fell off at the end of the year, but I think a lot of that was just fatigue, you know, both mental and physical. They really had to work so hard throughout the year to carry what was the lowest scoring offense in the league. I think it starts on the offensive line. They've got Bernard Raimann, who they drafted last year, showed flashes at the end of the year. You know, do you feel comfortable enough with him at left tackle? Do you need to upgrade there? They probably need to bring in a right guard, a starting caliber right guard, to help kind of shore up that line. And they need more weapons for whoever the young quarterback is, in particular a slot receiver. If they're not able to re-sign Paris Campbell, I'm not sure who on the roster right now really fits that role. So I think that's going to be another really big target for them as they get into this offseason.
So really no path to go the veteran quarterback route, George? I mean, with that roster, it's such a veteran roster, right? And I think they had offensive line issues. Gus Bradley was retained a defense coordinator. So there's some continuity. And within that division too, I mean, if they did take a flyer at, like, say, a Derek Carr or a Jimmy G or somebody like that, I mean, do you see that as a possibility at all?
After last year, I've learned to never say never. I never thought they would hire a coach in the middle of the season out of the TV studio. So I know better than to rule anything out right now. And I do think, you know, you can make that argument pretty quickly. It's the argument they made the last few years around here. And so I think they're going to at least kick the tires because they've got to make the determination. If you do want somebody like Bryce Young, do you want to pay the price to move up, or would you rather bring in Derek Carr and not give up draft picks and not give up, you know, players potentially in that deal? Or do you want to stick at four? Are you comfortable enough with maybe those top four guys that whoever's there you feel good about? I think that's what's so intriguing right now about this offseason. There's so many branches to these options for them. And I think if there's one thing I do feel confident about saying with Chris Ballard in charge, he will go down every road. He will mm-hmm. turn every rock. You know, he will not leave any of these options unexplored. So I don't think that's the preferred route, but I don't think it's something you can completely rule out either.
So as Mike referenced there a moment ago, Gus Bradley is retained as the Colts defensive coordinator. He and Shane Steichen have a previous relationship from their time coaching together on the Chargers staff. But it's hard to look past some of those late second half blown leads, particularly at the end of the season. What was your immediate reaction when you found out that he was going to be retained on the staff?
Yeah, I think it was something that we all kind of saw coming. They were blocking him from interviewing with other jobs. And so we thought it was something that they wanted to keep in mind. And as soon as Shane was named the head coach, we knew they'd been together for 4 years. So it was really something I think was expected, but there's no doubt the last 5 weeks of the season, last five games of the season, they gave up an average of 36.6 points, which is unbelievable. And during that stretch, you had the 33-point fourth quarter in Dallas, obviously the biggest blown lead in NFL history, and Minnesota, and even the last game of the year, you know, letting the Texans come down and score and get a two-point conversion to win at the end of the game. Some of that was injuries. You know, they didn't have Kenny Moore during that stretch. They really only had Shaq Leonard for, I think, 74 snaps the whole year. So I think there's reason to believe that they get him back, they can stay healthy, it's year two of the defense, that it can look more like it did the start of the season. But there's no doubt, there's concern over the way this year finished defensively, absolutely.
Okay, George, you got about 30 seconds left. We can bet on whether or not the 40 record's going to be broken this year. What kind of track are we dealing with out there in Indy? I mean, did they do anything to the turf at all?
Yeah, we need the inside scoop.
They have not changed the turf. It's been a fast track, though, I think, since they went into Lucas Oil here. It feels like the times have been pretty quick ever since.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate you, George. Thanks for doing this, and enjoy Combine Week.
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys.
George Bremer, Colts beat reporter and sports editor for the Herald Bulletin. You can also check out the podcast wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube, the Blue Horseshoe podcast at GM Bremer on Twitter. Again, he is out there on site in Indy. See, I always get excited like next year when the Super Bowl is going to be here in Vegas. Like, you don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
Everybody comes to you. It's a very nice feeling.
And everybody wants to be here next year, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you heard, certainly, out in Phoenix this past season. But yeah, looking forward to that.
Big so time. Surreal too.
It is.
Remember,
really,
it's like legitimately 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Sports will never work in Las Vegas.
We're from Vegas and have a Super Bowl here.
Let's go.
So cool. My grandpa, who's no longer with us, would lose his mind if he knew the way that the landscape had changed here in Vegas. Insane. Don't go anywhere. Lombardi Line rolls on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, when we come back.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Michael Lombardi getting some well-deserved time off after a long football season, but good news, when he does come back, he will be on the desk live in Las Vegas for almost, I believe, a full month, which will be awesome because he's coming out to visit his son for a good time. But Mike Pritchard, very excited to share the desk with you in the meantime. Former NFL wide receiver, won a national championship as well with Colorado. And now I'm going to subject you to a game.
Okay. See, I've heard
are
about
you okay
your
with
games.
This?
I heard about your games.
They're fun in games, though, okay? They're not
fun?
Games like in the negative connotation.
They can hurt you, though, from what I hear.
Maybe. See? If you're Matt Brown,
if you're
exclusively.
Matt Brown, exactly.
If you haven't seen Bets and Consequences, please get on the VSiN YouTube channel and just watch this poor man who is my former co-host be tortured. But we're not making any internal wagers here, so these are fun games.
Okay, good. Okay. As long as they're fun, I'm fine.
We're going to do a little fill-in-the-blank action here, okay? So I'm going to give you a statement with a blank in it, and I want to see what word or phrase you're going to fill it in with, okay?
Okay.
So starting off, the Jets would be blank to trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Aggressive.
Oh.
Aggressive. I like that one. They would be aggressive, certainly, if they traded for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, think about what the Jets would have to give up, right? And then inherit that salary, all because you want to reunite Aaron Rodgers with Hackett, right? And I don't know if that's going to work anyway. I mean, Hackett couldn't cut it, couldn't hack it. Out there in Denver. How about that? See? And then, no, they would be aggressive. But, you know, Robert Saleh has changed the culture out there in New York. It wouldn't surprise me if they did it, but it would be an aggressive move, though.
Yeah, and I just, again, like we talked about with Derek Carr, having to give something up versus not.
Yeah.
That team is so young and has so much promise. I would just hate to lose something significant at the expense of getting Aaron Rodgers. But who knows? What did you think of the comments, by the way, from the former Packers Hall of Famer? His name is escaping me right now, that he would ruin the Jets locker room.
Oh, Klecko.
Yes.
The Hall of Famer. Yeah. No, I think he's spot on, to be honest with you. I mean, the thing about the National Football League, Stormy, like what Aaron Rodgers accomplished and what he did in Green Bay, he didn't do anything for the Jets, right? And so why should everybody embrace him, you know, just because of what he did over there? Now, if it becomes great, you know, Klecko will change his tune, obviously. But, yeah, that's a fragile locker room out there in New York. I just mentioned how Robert Saleh did an incredible job changing the culture. So the influence of Aaron Rodgers, the baggage, the luggage of Aaron Rodgers, it's not Louis. It's not Louis. I mean, that baggage is damaged certain places. So you got to be careful with that.
Won back-to-back MVPs before having a real dud of a season. We'll see if he can get back to form regardless of where he is. Fill in the blank. Bryce Young will be a blank at the NFL level.
Will be a blank at the NFL level.
So will be a success. Will be a dud. Will be a...
Wow. Will be a blank at the NFL level. I don't know. I don't want to be too strong here. But he's a fragile guy. You know, I think
Bryce Young will be a broken man at the NFL level.
He will be a hurting unit at the NFL level. How about that?
Aww,
how about that? Yeah,
Bryce.
I'm trying to. Well, he's 194 pounds, and I know people are in love with his abilities, right? But at the beginning of the show, I talked about mental toughness and physical toughness, right? And Mental toughness, I think Bryce Young has it all. The guy is incredible, and he's an incredible talent. But the physical ability to stay healthy for 17 games and then into the playoffs, I mean, that comes into question, and it has to.
Now, listen, I know Nick Saban is very, very calculated with the majority of things that he says, but I asked him over Sugar Bowl week if he thought that the size was an issue for Bryce Young, and he thought no, because you can gain weight. He's got the mobility. He's got all of the tools that the size portion in terms of height didn't bother him as much. We showed this picture yesterday on the Lombardi line, but you weren't with us, so I might as well show this to you.
All right,
I'm 5 foot 10. How tall do you think Bryce Young is?
Well, they say he's 6 feet. He's not 6 feet, right?
You tell me.
No, he's not 6 feet. So Tua gained weight. Kyler gained weight. This past season, Lamar Jackson gained weight. And all those guys got hurt.
Yeah.
So you can gain weight, but when you're the Josh Allens of the world, the Patrick Mahomes of the world, the quarterbacks that are, you know, 6'3", 6'4", I played with these guys, Stormy, like Elway and certainly Warren Moon and Brett Favre early on. Brett Favre was out of shape, though. But once he got into shape, I mean, their bodies, you have to withstand a lot of punishment, a lot. It's a physical football game. And, I mean, I love his ability. I really do. I love the young man. I mean, the fact that you met him is incredible that way. But I think the size is going to be a question mark, though.
So what I'm going to fill in the blank with, and obviously, like, your experience is unmatched, unrivaled compared to my thought process. But what I did for fill in the blank was Bryce Young will be an exception at the NFL level.
Okay.
So
I like that.
I am thinking and hoping that things will pan out for him. The Bears keeping the number one pick would be blank.
Oh my goodness. Would be okay. Hold on.
Would be something.
It would be something. Shocking. I'm going to go with shocking.
Okay.
But also short-sighted, though. If they kept the number one pick, it would be short-sighted. Because you got to think about the bigger picture, right? And, you're going to keep that number one pick for what? You can get a defensive player if you trade it down. Because people are going to trade up to number one to get a quarterback, I would believe. If you think or if you have the notion that people are trading up for Will Anderson, which you need, or Jalen Carter, which you need, then I get it. Stick at number one. Stay at number one. But I think number one should be up for sale, and it would be short-sighted. That's the word I'm going to use, short-sighted.
I think that's a very good way to put it. Georgia's odds, 3-1 to win the college football playoff national championship for a third year in a row is blank.
They're reasonable. I think the odds are reasonable. The odds are reasonable. I mean, it's tough to go back to back. And now you're talking about three-peat in college football. They're going to lose a ton. I think they're reasonable odds. They're expected. That's why I say they're reasonable.
I put standard.
Okay, right.
Because it's not wrong. Mm-hmm. They're a program that we talk about year in and year out that, you know, we don't rebuild, we reload.
Right.
Them in Alabama, it's just maybe you have an off year every now and again, but largely, it seems like it's just a contender. So it makes sense that their odds
absolutely
are so short.
Yeah.
But
there's fewer surprises in college football.
Right.
Now, there's few surprises in the NFL, too. I mean, there's so many constants when it comes to teams and certainly how good teams can be. Seldom you see those remarkable surprises, right? But in college football, you know, show me some surprises that's going to win a national championship, right?
Yeah. TCU, we thought maybe.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's not how things panned out. Kevin Durant and the Suns will make it to the blank round of the playoffs.
Second round. I'm going to go second round. You know, if you look at the standings right now, the matchup kind of favors them to get past first round. But into the second round, the teams are just too good in the West. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be enough games for that chemistry to really unveil itself. Plus, they're not that deep. They gave up a lot of perimeter defense. They're going to score, certainly going to score. But I think in the playoffs, you need to play defense. And, KD, without the players, I mean, Ayton certainly. But I think what they gave up for KD really limits how far they can go in
the
playoffs.
What they have on their side is that the West feels more up for grabs by far than the East with that two-headed monster, it seems, with the Celtics and Bucks, although the 76ers trying to squeak their way in there if they can. But the bettors certainly seem to bet the Suns pretty hard, down from 18-1 to the second shortest shot on the board now to win it all. Realistically, a seed as high as blank could win the NCAA tournament this year.
Okay, so we have so much depth in conferences, right? I mean, I'm just looking at the Big East recently, Stormy, trying to catch up with college hoops. And I, my goodness, I was in love with the Big East last year. But I think seventh seed, I mean, that is realistic, right? To me, I mean, I love Houston. I loved them last year. What Samson's done with that squad, they have the veteran presence. They got injured down the stretch. They got injured into the Final Four there. And so, I love a seventh seed, perhaps. I have a chance to win a championship.
I went even more
Did
bold.
You? Really?
I said eight.
Okay. You're right there, though.
Yes, I'm right there with you. Well, for reference, eight is the lowest seed to win a national championship, mm-hmm. period. They've only even made an appearance three times, but nobody with, like, a higher number, so I'm talking, like, 9, 10, 11, 12, and so right. on and so forth, has even made it to the national championship game. But I was looking at Joe Lenardi's bracketology, mm-hmm. and looking at what the eight seeds are, currently where things sit right now. Iowa, Arkansas, Missouri, Texas A&M. And like, these are like long shots, obviously.
Right.
But these in that 7-8 range, mm-hmm. are reasonable teams to make a run, to make a Final Four. And then once you get to that point, it's anybody's game.
Yeah, I mean, it's wide
There's
open.
So much parity.
There is. It's wide open. But then you have these elite teams too, though. I mean, I think Houston's so poised right now.
You're not wrong. But I just have the question of playing in the American Conference. How battle-tested are you compared to a Big 12 team that's just week in and week out had these tough games? Josh Applebaum coming up next. See if I yell at him.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college basketball, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of just $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made from show hosts and guests, tools like betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the year, including expert bracket breakdowns, top plays, and daily props. Don't miss out, though. This is a limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. Again, just $9.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Mike Pritchard, former NFL wide receiver, in for the former NFL GM Michael Lombardi today. Stormy Bonantoni hosting things up. And we're going to welcome in friend of the show, VSiN betting analyst Josh Applebaum, host of the VSiN Morning Bets and the Market Insights podcast with Josh Applebaum at Josh_insights on Twitter. I was going to say, wake up with Josh every day, but that's a little bit creepy. But Morning Bets is awesome that you get that out for everybody, the line movement and what's going on right when they wake up, so they have that information downloaded.
Stormy and Pritch, great to be with you. And thank you, Stormy. Yeah, you can wake up with me, then go back to bed. That's usually what I do. I'll stay up late, wake up early, do the pod, get it out there, go right back to sleep, wake up at, you know, like 8 a.m., 9 a.m., get an hour or so, get right back to it. But yeah, what I really enjoy about the Morning Bets pod, guys, is being able to be awake at kind of the witching hour when, again, a lot of people are getting ready for work, they're waking up. Obviously, you know, 6 a.m. my time is 3 a.m. your time. So a lot of people aren't even awake or, you know, up and at them yet. So, but really what the betting market is it never sleeps. So you see a lot of sharp line moves like, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. So to me, it's really interesting to see line movement like randomly at, you know, 6:05 a.m. Someone's hitting a random total tells me that it's kind of a good opportunity to monitor the market. And then what I like to do, guys, is if I make a bet, you know, 6 a.m., what does it look like by noon? By the Market Insights pod time, ideally that line is moving toward me. That's a good thing. If it's going away from me, that's a bad thing. So it's just fun to be, you know, kind of aware of the market at a different hour. And guys, I'm a night owl. Before the Morning Bets pod, I was not a morning person.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, early bird gets the worm too. You can put that in a segment during your podcast right there.
I like
Josh.
That, Pritch. Nice. I like that.
He's an idea man.
There you go. But no, you're so right, though. I mean, the line movement, I mean, it could depend on whatever happens, right? I mean, LeBron James, the injury situation right there. That line earlier this morning from what we watched, that thing just shot up too once the news dropped about his foot, Josh. So what you provide here at VSiN is incredible.
Thank you, Pritch. I appreciate it. And yeah, I think NBA is probably the hardest sport overall. for me personally to bet on Pritch. Remember when we used to do a show together and we always talk about the 6 p.m. rule, how, of course, you know, when you're betting the NBA, typically you want to wait later in the day. And that's what makes it so hard, because you could be capping a game all morning long. Right. You fall in love with the play. It's matching everything you look for. Then randomly Kawhi Leonard is out. Paul George is out. The line goes the other way. So again, it's difficult here, but to me, what I'm really looking at now, guys, is the awards market in the NBA. Like, I'm kind of dialing back like my daily NBA plays, because it's been kind of difficult to cap with all the injuries. Looking at the awards market, guys like Jokic, who's now a big favorite MVP, or Malcolm Brogdon for sixth man. These are kind of the bets that I like to look at each day and kind of offset, you know, if you're going to dial back your daily grind of betting, maybe you add in some futures to help you down the road a little bit.
Really good stuff. And as it pertains to that daily betting of the NBA, I've learned that if Giannis Antetokounmpo is doubtful, he'll play. If he's probable, he won't. So just, you know, put that in your back pocket. Now, Josh, as much as I love you, enough pumping your tires. Let's actually talk some other things. As it pertains to the NFL draft, though, coming up, you know, these markets are popping up more and more, and things are going to become more readily available. The combine is this week. What are some things that you're looking at early before we get to April?
Yeah, Stormy, I think what's important right now is just to do yourself a favor. Like, if whatever book that you're looking at right now, screenshot the NFL draft odds right now and then give it a couple days. I'm actually the kind of nerdy person who likes to watch the combine, and not really for like who's going to run the fastest 40 or, you know, the bench press and stuff like that. But it's kind of hearing what the commentators say, because remember, you're getting all these same people in one building, in one room. And I think Michael Lombardi did a great job in his latest article, VSiN.com, talking about misinformation, where like maybe you really love a guy, but you don't want people to know you love him. So you kind of, you know, go the other way or kind of don't mention his name. So there is misinformation out there. But a lot of times if you listen, like, you know, sometimes if you watch games, if you don't like the commentators, you can just mute it and just watch the game. To me, with the combine, it's worth listening to what the people are talking about, because they're hearing things. So right now, updated, obviously the Bears have the number one pick, but we're hearing that there's a good chance they might trade that. So right now, who's, you know, the favorites to go number one overall? It's Bryce Young, star quarterback from Alabama, minus 165. He's minus 185 to be the first quarterback selected. Or I'm finding some value, and I think there's some good line movement here. And again, bookmark these odds pre-combine and post-combine. It's a very simple way to see how they're moving. But Pritch, let me get your take on this one. The first wide receiver selected. Now, I was looking at Quentin Johnston at the very beginning here. He opened as the favorite, like plus 140, 6'4". He's got the measurables from TCU. But then he kind of drifted a little bit, and you had basically three guys with the same exact odds, around plus 150, plus 175, with Jordan Addison, Jackson Smith, Najibba, and then also Quentin Johnston. But Pritch, over the last couple days, some steam is coming in on Quentin Johnston. He's down now to plus 110. So, again, it's hard to know if it's a smokescreen, if it's real or not. But just your thoughts, Pritch, on the NFL and the way it's going. Do you want this big, tall guy who can make plays? Or do you want kind of the shifty slot guy like maybe some of these other players? But what do you think? Should I get Johnston plus 110 here to be first wide receiver?
The shifty slot guy and versatile player, if you will, Josh. That guy you can move all around the field. You know, I love Quentin Johnston and his game because of his catch radius, right? But you have the Mike Evans of the world out there already. You have the bigger body receivers out there in the world already. But those shifty slot guys that you can move around and do gadget plays with, Smith and Jigba comes to mind because of the trend of Ohio State wide receivers too, right? Olave and Wilson, certainly. Zay Flowers out your way is getting some love too, as he's increased his body size. So a lot is going to happen in the combine. Here's what I would look out for, Josh, if I was you, is, you know, not only what people were saying about these wide receivers, but the fit. Perhaps, you know, people will start to mention the fit of some of these players, and therefore you can get a grasp on really what teams are looking at selecting wide receiver high up in the draft.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Pritch, because you kind of got to extrapolate, you know, who picks where and what they could be looking for. So, you know, one thing I'm also looking at, Pritch, is the quarterback market here, because obviously Young is expected to be the first off the board, then C.J. Stroud. There's a moment where Will Levis had a huge line move, but he's drifted a little bit here. Anthony Richardson is kind of the hot new shiny object that's moved quite a bit. But if they're hanging like a 3.5, here's the other thing. Like, we don't have all the draft props yet. You know, we don't have, like, one of my favorites to bet is a matchup, like who will go first, you know, head-to-head, or the over-under position. Pritch, remember, you made a lot of people money last year that over, what was it, 5.5 up to 6, up to 6.5 with the wide receivers. I'm looking at, if there's a quarterback opener of 3.5 quarterbacks, I'm looking at that over, because again, Levis, Stroud, Young, and then also Anthony Richardson. So that's something that I'm looking toward. And I just want to throw this one at you guys. First defensive player selected, a guy who, as a lot of mock drafts, would be at 1 overall if the Bears didn't trade the pick, but Jalen Carter. It's kind of an obvious play. All the mocks have him the first defensive player selected over Will Anderson from Alabama. But this is, I'm such a nerd, guys. I update these numbers every day, morning and night. And I noticed from yesterday to today, Jalen Carter went from plus 110 to plus 105, now to minus 105. So Stormy, Jalen Carter, first overall. Maybe we can get a couple beer money plays on that first defensive player.
I love it. Keep it going. I always just think of that visual of Jalen Carter treating Jaden Daniels like a rag doll when they played LSU. Okay, so I teased this segment by saying, let's see if I yell at Josh. You have two plays that you're looking at. One in the NHL that I 100,000,000% agree with, and then one in college basketball that I'm very bitter about. But talk us through some of the line movement on Bruins Flames and San Diego State Boise State.
Yeah, so Stormy, you'll probably like this one. Again, Golden Knights, a former alum there. Bruce Cassidy been doing a great job, but I think the Bruins are happy. They switched there to Jim Montgomery.
Yeah,
but
they're fine.
I'll take the they're okay. I think they're all right. They actually just went over their points total today, guys. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. It's 96.5. They just went to 97 with like 23 games left. But anyway, give me the Bruins here. I think your first thought is it's the second leg of a back-to-back. I can't bet Boston tonight. But actually, the line's going to the Bruins. The Bruins open as low as minus 120. You're up to minus 130. A couple system matches here. If you look at road favorites off a win, it's been a great angle here all season, 64%. Non-division steam, 10 cents or more, 64%. And then here's the other thing. Back-to-back teams. If you are a back-to-back team, second leg of a back-to-back, overall in the NHL, it's been a bet against. These teams are only winning 43% of the time. But the Bruins are 6-2 on the second leg of a back-to-back. And then also they just brought in Orlov, Garnet Hathaway. And here's the other thing I like, Stormy. Linus Ullmark, who's the favorite to win the Vezina, he's rested, ready to go. Swayman got the win last night. Ullmark's rested. If you're giving me the Bruins, arguably, maybe if they can break this record, maybe the best regular season team ever, still got to win the cup, though. But you're giving me minus 130. I think that's a really good number here on the Bruins tonight.
Absolutely. And I hope that they get it all done. I love that play. I'm on the Bruins minus 125. You see minus 130 now. But anytime you can get them sub 150, it feels like a good bet. And there's only 30 seconds left. So sell me on Boise.
I don't know if I can sell you, Stormy. You're an Aztec
here. Probably
not
me,
so
you're
not going to be happy with this one, but I got to go Boise State in this one. It's a 50-50 bet split, but almost 80, 90% of the money is on Boise. Again, why is Boise favored tonight if San Diego State has the better record, is the better ranked team, and Boise State is unranked here? Also, your Aztecs, Stormy, have won 6 straight. So this is one of those plays where it's disgusting, it's gross. It did not cash with OK State last night. Cowboys are on my do not bet list for a while here, but I got to go with this fishy line move. Unranked home favorite ranked opponents, 67% against the spread. Let's go Boise State tonight, Stormy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I like your money line approach versus the spread, but you can hold your nose. I'm going to breathe in deeply. San Diego State, baby. Love you, Josh. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. You too.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points to BetMGM Rewards that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, including incredible experiences and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Alongside Mike Pritchard, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Wanted to wrap up a little bit of the conversation we were just having with our guy, Josh Applebaum, about this San Diego State Boise State game, because I might have, maybe, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of camaraderie here on the desk, because you kind of like the Aztecs in this spot.
I do, Stormy. Nobody's talked about the total either, because when you think about these two squads and how defensive-minded they are, how efficient they are defensively, nobody's really talked about the total. I'm not entertaining the total. I know Will Hill likes the money line with Boise. A bounce back situation, revenge, look ahead. Perhaps that was a spot last week for Boise, or last game for Boise. And then everything's kind of sewn up for SDSU, right? But SDSU got swept by Boise State last year. I think there's a different mentality too going on with the Aztecs right now. They're so athletic and they can use fouls to their advantage, right? And I think Boise, for them to win, they're going to have to knock down shots, in particular behind the arc. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the environment can inspire them. Maybe they're looking for that. I think bettors might be looking for that. The line has indicated that too. But you still have to knock them down, you know, and you still have to knock them down against that Aztecs defense. So if that defense comes to play, perhaps a total could be a look, an angle in this game. But, you know, you're catching 2.5 right now with the Aztecs.
Yeah, and all the angles that you and Applebaum and Will Hill have brought up all makes sense. Plus, you throw in the fact that maybe there's a little bit of a letdown after getting the important win at the Pit the other night. I know they didn't cover the number, but still a important win against New Mexico, right? A team that beat them earlier in the regular season at Viejas Arena. But for me, we talked about the seeding aspect. Mm-hmm. There is a massive difference in the NCAA tournament between getting a 5 seed and a 6 seed. So just because they have a share of the Mountain West tournament already locked up doesn't mean that they're complacent and they're good.
Right.
And then this game against Boise, like, this is a rivalry. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm sure it felt great that they got that kind of anomaly win by 20 points against Boise earlier this season. Mm-hmm. But this is a team they want to beat. They are very unhappy about how things played out last year. Boise, you talk about the sweep. That included the Mountain West Conference Tournament Championship game, where San Diego State had multiple opportunities to get the ball up and potentially win that game, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so Boise got the auto bid to the tournament last year.
Absolutely. And, you know, perception too. I mean, think about what the committee is going to think about the Mountain West Conference too. So I think that's in the back of the heads, or the mindset, I think, with the Aztecs, Stormy. But on top of that, just the style of play too, with two defensive-minded teams. If there is a situation where fouls are going to determine this thing, you know, catching 2.5 points looks like a nice deal for me, at least nice angle to look at. But I am intrigued by that total, though. 134.5 here showing on the board against these two teams.
Don't let this game get to 3. That number, I mean, Boise opened a 1-point favorite, now sitting 2.5. Another game that Josh talked about that I did bet, and I just wanted to kind of close up my thoughts on that, was the Bruins tonight at Calgary against the Flames. he's dead on about the thought that Linus Ullmark is going to be between the pipes tonight. Jeremy Swayman got the win for Boston yesterday. They're on a 7-game win streak. They win that game. We actually have the replay on Sportsnet playing above our heads right now. But Connor McDavid hits the 50-goal mark on the season. Incredible stuff. That's why he's a massive, massive favorite still with over 20 games to go for the Hart Trophy. But this is a team that is just built different. And they are better than Calgary in every facet. Now, just because you're better doesn't mean you're going to win on any given night.
Right.
But I really think, like, riding the hot hand on a 7-game win streak, Flames home and road splits are pretty similar, like, not good. They've dropped 8 of their last 12 games straight up. And the Bruins, they're better at scoring. Mm-hmm. They have a better blue line. They have the best goaltending in the entire NHL. Their special teams, penalty kill and power play, are better. Depth is better. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's really, really hard to bet against them, even in the Saddle Dome. And especially at such a short number, I have no problem backing the Bruins.
Well, I was about to ask you that, Stormy, because something I learned from Josh Applebaum betting hockey with him, you know, it's -130 from a money line standpoint. And that's what you're looking at too from betting hockey. So that price doesn't seem like it's too steep with a situation against Calgary.
Yeah, that it's very rare to get the Bruins as a favorite less than $2 these days.
Right.
So I have no problem with the number. Is there anything in the association that you're looking at tonight?
You know, I was looking at the Clippers and the Timberwolves there. You know, the Clippers, they've given up a lot of points the last two games, right, to say the least, and they've lost those games. And I think on the road with a young team, void of a superstar, Cat, he's been out forever with the Clippers. As I'm catching up with the NBA, moving away from the NFL, different phases too. Like, how difficult is that going to be for the Timberwolves to go to LA, the Clippers, and the Clippers in a spot where they are scoring? Westbrook seemingly has chemistry already. From a scoring standpoint, the question mark would be defense, but I think the Clippers play better defense at home.
Okay.
Certainly. And you think about Kawhi and all these players, they should have that defensive effort against the Timberwolves, who,
well,
like
they
I mentioned,
did earlier in the season,
right,
which is kind of weird, where they were a more defensive minded team and the offense was suffering, and now that's flipped, which has been kind of strange.
Well, people are going to point to Westbrook, I think, right? But you can't do that. I mean, you got too many other superstars, too many other players. I think what I like so far about the scoring aspect and for the Clippers is that Westbrook is fitting in, right? With certainly with what the Clippers have right now, it's just, when is that defense going to show up? It's same question mark for a lot of teams as we get closer and closer or deeper and deeper into the season. That's when those signs or those indicators appear for me, though.
Yes, this is the national TNT game. Timberwolves taking on the Clippers tonight. And LA is a team that's so interesting to me because I bought in on them not too long ago, 12-1, right before the Russell Westbrook trade.
Okay.
And then when that happened, I was like, well, I don't know if I like this as much anymore, just because it's not the on-court stuff with him necessarily. It's the off-court attitude about how he's utilized on the court that concerns me a little bit. And I'm like, Paul George, why'd you have to do this to me?
Right, right, right. You know, the thing about Russell Westbrook is how you handle him. And Lou seems like he wants to handle him the right way, or like he wants to embrace it. Like, you know, Russell has been contributing, and you see comments from Lou in terms of, okay, I need to play him more. Like, Russell feels important now, right? Westbrook, as opposed to, okay, this is LeBron's team and you're playing second fiddle. I think Westbrook, he's such a praise-needed player, in my opinion. Just watching him and observing him his entire career, he's an incredible, incredible talent. But he'll give you points offensively, but will he put out effort defensively? And if he does that, if he applies himself that way, and I think if Lou can bring that out, then I like your situation with LA.
We'll see.
You don't like it too much.
I'm not as confident as I was, even though the West feels pretty up for grabs in this spot.
Well, Denver's never really proven themselves, though, right? From a playoff standpoint.
Well, it's weird. I feel like they're not getting, like, their due being talked about as a contender this season when they're winning games they need to win.
Right.
Nikola Jokic is going to win MVP, it appears, again. Whether he deserves it or not is, like, another question to be had for a lot of people out there that are very upset about that thought process. Mm-hmm. But I think Denver has a real shot. Everybody just likes the Suns because of KD.
Yeah, I mean, they have the star power right there when you add KD. I think there's question marks about Malone coaching the Nuggets and some of his decisions, some of the moves that they made too lately. I know people are high on the Nuggets out there in Denver. I talk to a lot of people out there all the time, Stormy, and I don't know. Until they do it, people aren't going to believe it, though.
Right. Well, is that just a local view, though, or is that a national view?
Local nervousness.
You're always talking to the Colorado people.
Local nervousness. How about that?
Also, yeah. Are you proud of me that I say Colorado? Because I got yelled at when I first moved there. Not yelled at, but...
What happened?
That I just said Colorado, and they're
you said Rado,
they said,
okay.
Is it Nevada? And I was like, no. Okay.
You get mad when people say Nevada, though?
I don't like it.
It eats at me.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
And you would think, especially a lot of those East Coast broadcasters that come over here, it's UNLV is an established program.
Right.
You know, you should know how to say the state. No, I don't know. It's one of those things.
They should.
Mike, thank you so much for today.
You.
This was awesome. You're the
pleasure.
Best.
You are as well.
Great reuniting with you. That's a wrap on today's edition of Lombardi Line. But check back with us tomorrow. JBT will be with us. So we'll get into a little more NBA than usual.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.